Welcome to the Beauty in Battle podcast, where we talk about winning in marriage by waging a war. I'm Jason Benham. I've got my girlfriend slash wife, Tori Benham, with me, and we are here to talk to you about how Satan tries to get you to fight face-to-face with your spouse, but God designed you to fight shoulder-to-shoulder against Satan so that you can win in your marriage. Fighting together draws you together. We cannot wait to jump in. So here we go. So today we're going to talk about the five keys to a happy marriage. And we're going to share this. This is research backed from the Prepare Enrich folks, who are fantastic. They've got all this crazy awesome research. Mm-hmm. And they said of all their mountains of research, they have boiled it all down to five keys to a happy marriage. So if you're experiencing these five keys, then you've got a happy marriage. If you're maybe experiencing three out of five of them, then you could be happier.
Yeah.
And I love this because Tori and I love discovering stuff. And then
I thought it was so cool. This is 40 years of research. They've collected data for 40 years.
So cool.
And this is what they've concluded to the most happy marriages are these five things.
Yeah. So I love that.
Definitely worth digging into a bit.
Yeah. And now before we do, I want to give you our song. And we heard this at a wedding in Tennessee. Mikey and Sarah Harrell. Mm-hmm. Got married, lifelong friends with the Harrells, and they played this song. It is "This Is How You Fall in Love" by Jeremy Zucker and Chelsea Cutler. And I had never heard it before. And my kids are like, "Oh yeah, we love that song." So let me play a little clip for you. Okay, so I can't play much more than that anymore because
go check it out,
though. YouTube has flagged me. I can't do more than 7 to 10 seconds.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I can't play too much.
I love a good wedding. It was the most gorgeous wedding. Mikey is, like Jason said, some really dear friends of ours, their son. They came to Concord when Mikey was probably, okay, so Allie was born, and he's 4 years older than Allie. So, yeah. 16 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. 16 years ago.
I wasn't homeschooled. I don't know.
Anyways, little Mikey, and all I could see, that same smile that I saw growing up, he was our neighbor. They moved in across the street from us, and now they still live next door to us after a lot of prayer to get them back to be neighbors. And so this little guy just always had the biggest smile, and just seeing that same smile while his wife walk down the aisle to him. It was just very surreal and so sweet.
Yeah, and it was such a God-honoring wedding, too.
It was such a God-honoring wedding. And the songs were really good. This was one of them.
And some epic dancing. You know, Tori and I, we're not scared to get out and dance a little bit at a wedding. It's funny because they had a really good country song come on, and I'm like, oh, this is a perfect two-stepping song. And I grew up two-stepping, and I wasn't a good two-stepper anymore. I actually apologized to Tori on the dance floor. I'm like, I'm sorry, honey. I got to get better at this again.
We need to two-step more. We lost it.
I know.
We've lost our touch.
Got to get it back. Okay, let's dive in. Five keys to a happy marriage, research-backed over the last 40 years. Okay, number one. I don't know if you have a happy marriage. Number one, you both feel good about the way you communicate. Okay, this is so cool. You both feel good about how you communicate. And as I was reading this article, I dove down into some of the details of it. But specifically, good communication can come down to two things: assertiveness and active listening. Mm. And those are both so deep. And, you know, Tori and I have done podcasts on communication. We've written stuff. We have our course on communicate. We got all sorts of stuff. But when you really think about it, if you nail these two things, mm-hmm. assertiveness and active listening, it is going to help you so much in your communication. So assertive, which means your willingness and ability to speak your mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. Active listening is your willingness to understand more than seeking to be understood. Mm-hmm. So that's active listening.
That's good.
It involves empathy and all of that. Yes. But assertiveness, speaking your mind, and active listening, seeking to understand more than seeking to be understood. Now, let me say something about assertive real quick. You got to remember, if you're going to speak your mind, don't ever forget the 5-to-1 rule by Dr. John Gottman, that if you have to talk about or do something negative,
right?
You know, if there's any type of negative interaction, you need to counterbalance that with five positive interactions. So if you are going to speak your mind, just make sure that you don't just berate.
Right.
You know, like speak the mind, but make sure that you're couching it in positivity. Now, most people might think, oh, being assertive, okay, that's an easy thing. I can speak my mind. Well, it's not always so easy because there are some people who's it's much more difficult
right.
to be assertive. And then on the active listening side, that to me, for me, I can be assertive. It's harder for me to be an active listener. For Tori, it's the reverse.
Right. Yeah. And I think this is true in most relationships. I think you typically have someone who's more assertive and you typically have someone that's a better listener, right?
Yeah.
And we need that. We need balance. Like if you're a really good listener, but you have a hard time with assertiveness, then you're going to have to really practice assertiveness. If you are assertive, but you are not the greatest listener, you have to really practice listening.
That's right. What'd you just say? I didn't catch that.
Practice makes perfect.
Got it.
Okay. And you know, as I was really thinking about this and kind of digging into this assertiveness, and that their definition was the ability to express your feelings and ask for what you want. I feel like that has been so hard for me. And it's actually really hard for me to even think that that's good. It's actually hard for me to think that that would be the right thing to do. Because I think I was a pretty strong-willed child and I knew what I wanted. And I think I was actually a pretty assertive kid.
Yeah.
Like I remember fighting tooth and nail for what I wanted with my brother and just I hated the way it turned into conflict every single time. Like I was always fighting. Like
Frankie's such a jerk.
We were both really strong-willed, me and my older brother. So we grew up, there's two generations in our family. There's me and my brother, Frankie, and then 10 and 12 years later, my little brothers who, you know, they were basically my kids. And I was, you know, I would never, ever once fought with them. Because
Tori was a very young mom.
Yeah. They taught me a lot. And so anyways, I think that, you know, for most of my growing up years, it was learning how to let go, mm-hmm. how to let go of my will, how to not fight for everything that I wanted, how to be content with not getting my way, right?
Yeah.
It was like that dying to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to realize over time that you're actually happiest when you don't hyper-focus on yourself your want and your desires, right?
Yeah.
You're actually the most happy when you can be flexible and actually go with the flow and not make it all about you all the time, right? And so then that becomes the coping strategy. It's like, okay, this isn't working for me. Me trying to get my way all the time and me trying to be assertive, it only brings disconnection. Like it always brought disconnection between me and my family members. And so I began to learn how to not be assertive and to just kind of go with the flow. And that seemed to me to be like the godly thing to do, the Christ-like thing to do, die to yourself thing. But there's always balance in everything.
That's right.
There's always balance in everything. And if you just kind of go with that the rest of your life, it actually is not great for a relationship.
It's terrible. Yeah. If you don't have both of these, assertiveness and active listening, you're not going to have good communication.
Yeah.
So that's the first sign of a happy marriage, okay, is that you both feel good about how you communicate. Number two, you feel connected to each other. And I love this because Tori and I, in our marriage mentorships, one of the first things that we always ask is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how connected do you feel to your spouse?
Right.
And why?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not joking. That one question asked to both spouses will take an hour of time to talk through.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you, okay, why are you at an 8? Why are you at a 3? You know,
yeah.
If you're at a 9.5, what could get you to a 10? That kind of thing, like you can really get to the bottom of things, but you feel very connected to each other. It's a sign of a happy marriage. And a connected couple prioritizes togetherness.
Yeah.
I love that word. It's togetherness.
Mm.
And it's what makes you feel emotionally connected, that you know you are each other's person.
Right.
Like, you know it deep down. Like, my best friend is my spouse.
Mm.
Like, that's what you know deep down. And if you don't know that deep down, if you're like, oh, well, I think if my husband had a choice, he'd probably rather hang out with his buddy.
Yeah.
Well, then you gotta work on some things. You gotta get connected to each other. You need to really foster that sense of connectedness. And one of the ways to do that is connect around mutual enjoyment. You have to find stuff that you mutually like together.
Yeah, so true. It's so good. And I, you know, I'm always amazed at how, when we ask these questions to the couples, it always comes down to a lot of the answers have to do with their love language. And I feel like that's been such a helpful tool. If you haven't taken the love language test, it's free online and it's really helpful to know how your spouse receives love.
So
and
good.
It's also, it's so important to know how you give love and how you receive love, because if you're not open to receive love in the way that your spouse gives it, it's a miss, right?
Oh yeah.
Like for you, your love language, when we first got married was acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't my love language.
Yeah.
But as I began to be open to receiving your love the way you gave love,
yeah,
it actually became my love language.
Which is crazy because Tori's love language was quality time. And that was not mine, even by any stretch of the imagination. But then as I began doing that, now I'm a quality time and person, which is crazy.
I think because you knew that that's the way I give love and feel love, right? That you became open to it. You became open to that quality time and receiving that as love from me.
Yeah.
And then it actually became a primary love language of yours where you like, we really both really need time together. Like if we're not feeling connected, it's always because we haven't spent enough time together.
Yeah. And what's crazy though, is that I'm so much of a quality time person now. I would literally spend all day with Tori. That there are times where she's like, don't you have a speaking engagement coming up this weekend?
That's not true.
I'm kidding.
But I mean,
you do appreciate your alone time, which is good. Cause I do too.
100%. And I think that you're not used that. That's been an adjustment to get used to, because when you used to go away,
it was terrible.
It was awful because it was so hard to be without you, to take care of the kids when they were little, to bring them to all, you know, just like parenting alone with when they're little and have all these things. It was overwhelming.
That is a good point.
Now we've got three kids who have their license. I'm not like a full-time taxi driver, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's changed the dynamics of you being gone.
It is
now,
crazy.
I'm totally cool with being alone now.
It's crazy the different seasons that you experience in marriage. You know, mm-hmm. there were times where I would literally be leaving and going to the airport and I felt guilty for the 3 days that I was on that trip going and visiting clients. I mean, I'm working, but I felt just extreme guilt and mm-hmm. it wasn't Tori putting it on me. It's just like, I know she's at home with a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old and a newborn and
pregnant.
Gosh, it's terrible. But now I don't feel that guilt anymore. But yet sometimes it still creeps in. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a Friday night and I'm in the airport.
I have to remind him. I'm like, I'm actually really enjoying
this. And that makes things so much better. She's like, I'm at dinner with Allie. Why are you calling me?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just checking on you. She's like, you don't need to check on me. I'm having a good time. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Fine. I'm going to watch a movie on the airplane then.
And I don't not miss feel you guilty. Either.
All right. So that's number two. You feel connected to each other. Number three. You're flexible when problems arise. Mm. Now, this is a big one.
It is a big one.
Key to a happy marriage. You're flexible when problems arise. How you handle these three things, change, challenge, and crisis.
Mm.
How you handle change, how you handle challenges, and how you handle crisis. Those moments can connect you deeper with your spouse. Okay. It's those who are happy together. You know what they do? They adapt easily.
Yeah.
Happy couples shift their use. I'm reading this directly from Prepare and Rich research right now. Happy couples shift their usual relationship roles and rules to be more fluid and less defined.
Hmm.
The key here is that flexing is temporary. Eventually, they'll return to their usual stable ways. Man, when I read that, I was like, that is so true.
Yeah.
It's like you need roles, you need rules, you know, and responsibilities in your relationship. But when stuff happens, happy couples shift easily to assume new roles.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're temporary. You know, and sometimes they could even be permanent. Like in our situation, one of my roles now, I've taken on the making the lunch for Jake before he goes to school.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm accepting that as a responsibility. Although it is funny, out of a 5-day period of time where I have to make 5 lunches, I still only make about 3 or 4 of them. Tori's always something happens.
Well,
I'm doing
I would
something.
Say even less than that because you're out of town.
Okay, never mind, guys.
You know why?
Why?
Because Jake loves my lunches. I've noticed that. Like, He told me over Mother's Day, he's like, when you make the lunches, I'm like, yes.
But it's like.
So it makes me feel bad. I'm like, okay, Jakey, I got one more year with you. I got you, buddy.
It is crazy, though. Like, I can make a sandwich, and Tori can make the exact same sandwich, but they taste different. I can make an omelet, but Tori can make an omelet, and they taste
completely different. You do try, and you do a great job of doing that.
I might just put a little too much mayo on that sandwich. But the whole thing about happy couples, they shift their usual relationship roles and rules to be more fluid and less defined, which means, yeah, that's my responsibility. But you know what? If I'm busy, I might not get to it, and I'm sorry. Yeah. Help me.
Yeah.
And the same is true. You might be too busy, you know. Something might happen, you might get sick or whatever, and I'm going to jump in and help.
Yeah.
A happy couple, according to the research, are those who are flexible when problems arise.
That's so good. And I think, you know, what causes us not to be flexible is a sense of control, right? When we're trying to control things.
Yeah.
And I think that control always points back to fear, right? We always try to control what we can't.
That's good.
We always try to control what we fear most.
Yeah.
Right. So if you look at yourself and you're like, I'm super unflexible in that area. Like I have a really hard time letting go of that. Right.
Yeah.
It most likely points to like, you're trying to control something that you fear. And so I think that if you can kind of go back and be like, okay, why am I like holding on to this so much? What is there like some sense of fear behind this that I'm really holding, that I'm really like, is leading me? Is this fear leading me? I think that's like a really good place to start if you're with self-awareness.
That's
like, what is this thing that's gripping me? Why am I being so controlling? Why can't I flex? Why can't I pivot? Right. And I think, it always points to our trust and our security.
Something's been rocked in your security at some point in your life. And now you have to try to control things.
Yes.
Yeah. And you just got to get to the bottom of that, you know, otherwise you're not going to have the happy marriage that God wants you to have.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, in those areas when I'm like, okay, this scares me, right? It scares me to let go of this. I want to control this because, you know, X, Y, and Z. But when I really look and I really allow the Lord to show me the areas where he's been trustworthy, right? What is that thing that we always say where a testimony is when your faith intercepts with his faithfulness, right? We've got to call upon those testimonies to overcome these areas.
That's exactly right.
Of control in our life, because it's like, oh, wait, you were faithful then. You're going to be faithful now. I can trust you. I can let go.
Yeah. And if you don't have your own testimony of that area where you've let go and come through or anything like that, that's why you got to be reading scripture every day. You're like, read the testimonies of scripture. I mean, if God literally can part an ocean and a million people walk through on dry ground, he can handle your situation.
Yeah.
So give it to him. Okay. So you're flexible when problems arise. That's number three. Number four, you like each other's personality. Now you might think this is, okay, of course you like each other's personality, but this one is specifically talking about how happy couples don't try to change each other. They actually accept each other, both good and not so good. You know, they accept each other. So both good and not so good. And let me just pause for a second. Something what just fell and hit that? The ground, and Tori and I jumped like it was nothing. And you should have seen Tori's face.
We are
face.
Looking around this room trying to what, figure out what
just the heck
fell. I see nothing.
I see nothing. Yeah. I think we're good, Tori. We're not going to die.
Okay.
Okay. So let's get back into this. So number four, that you like each other's personality. So healthy couples accept each other, the good and the not so good. So it's like when you totally accept your spouse for who they are, you're not trying to change them. You're just focusing on accepting them.
Yeah.
And you know what? When you accept all of them, you know, warts and all, if you're going to say that phrase, then you'll actually begin to love the things that you could easily get frustrated at.
Yeah.
Our example that we gave in our book, Tori, when I met her, the way that she handled her room, you know, was my roommate in college, Tim Harrell, was Tasmanian devil. And then I met Tori and I thought, well, here's Tim's sister.
Yeah. So Jason had prepared him with Tim, his roommate from college.
Yeah. God knew what I needed. But anyway, so one of Tori's big things when we got married was she'd pull her drawer open she would try on a bunch of different clothes, and then clothes hanging out on the floor, hanging out of the drawer, and the drawer still open. And my big thing was, hey, just let's grab those clothes, let's put them back and push the drawer in. And, you know, for the first, you know, 3 or 4 years of marriage, 5 years of marriage, that really bothered me. And until God got a hold of my heart, and you guys just have to read our book to find out how he did all of that. But now, I'm not joking, I realized my role in life is to be the drawer pusher inner for Tori if I ever see drawers. And the crazy thing is, it's cute if I walk in and see a drawer open. Now, it rarely ever happens because she actually pushes drawers in now.
And we got soft closed drawers.
Soft closed. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when we were dating and that you saw that side of my personality, it didn't really bother you. Like you were just,
that's right.
You thought it was cute. You thought it, like, I was super laid back and you were really drawn. You were OCD. Like you want like things a certain way. You always saw what was out of place, right? And I think there was something about that side of my personality that kind of like
I needed you to soften me up.
It softened you up, and it also, I think, it just put you at ease a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
And but then we got married and that thing wasn't so cute anymore.
You needed to become like me.
And the thing that I so admired in you was like your responsibility, right? Like your ability to keep things tidy and to be on top of your stuff and all those things. And suddenly those things didn't become so cute. It was like, just please stop putting my tea, dumping my tea out when I'm only halfway through it.
Yeah. It was bad. She'd be halfway through her tea. She's not done. And then she'd go into the other room to get something. And I'm looking and I walk in and I see the tea thing. And I'm like, oh, she left it there. So I just clean it up.
And I would get so mad, right?
Like, I'd be like, I was drinking that.
But it's like, then you get to a point in your marriage where you're like, well, this isn't working for us to be irritated with each other all the time. And I think you just began to see the good in me again. And I began to see the good in you again and how we balance each other out. We're a good team.
Yeah.
And you have to intentionally start focusing on the things that you love about that personality that I love the fact that you pick up after yourself. And I really like focus in on that. Like that's a huge blessing that you help, even though I could, you know, and like I did at the beginning of our relationship, look at it like, this is overwhelming me. This guy needs to loosen up.
Although you have thoroughly trained me now, because if I walk in to the house and I see a cup with, you know, like maybe enough tea at the bottom to where it's probably just backwash.
Yeah.
And there's a tea bag in it. I could feel like a shudder through my bones.
I've installed like,
if
a
you
healthy
touch
fear.
That, you will die.
It's called a healthy fear. Of
That's
Corey.
Okay. It's a healthy fear. It's like that. And the other healthy fear she's given to me is that when I drop her at the front of the grocery store, if I'm not fully ready, like, and I've pulled up by the time she walks out, I'm in some trouble.
It's a very simple job, babe. Be ready.
You know,
don't park. Okay, let's just, okay, if you really want to go there. It's the fact that you don't just park in eyesight. That's the part that bothers me. It's like, just park where I can see you. I will come to you. I will find you. It's no big deal. But do not park like 5 miles away. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I have to get away. I don't like to be around all the cars.
You like go to do work and I'm like, I am the fastest grocery shopper ever. I can get in and out. And I'm like, let's do this.
Okay.
So if you could just find a parking spot that I can see you within eyesight.
Yeah, but all those parking spots have other cars.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you.
And he doesn't want his truck to get nicked.
I did this. I did this like 6 months ago with Tori.
He wants to be with no cars where there's no shot of getting nicked.
Yeah, okay. And so then I'm waiting for Tori and I did what she wanted and we were at a restaurant. I think you were doing pickup and I pulled in and in between two cars and sure enough, the lady for one of the cars gets in, she opens her door, bam, right in the side of my door and I rolled my window down. I was like, what is up? And she's like, oh, and she got in her car and took off. Like,
oh, babe. It's
that
worst,
made me mad.
Your worst fear came true.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
All right. We'll work through this later.
Yeah. We do need to work. Listen, we might need somebody to help us with this. Okay. So that's number four, where you like each other's personality. And number five, you feel understood during conflict.
Mm.
Okay. I love this line. The biggest difference between happy and unhappy couples is how conflict is handled.
Yeah.
Okay. If you feel like your spouse understands you when you're discussing problems, it means you're doing some things really well.
Yes.
Okay. And the key here, there are two keys when it comes to feeling understood during conflict. The two keys are emotional safety and empathy. Mm-hmm. We've talked about both of these ad nauseum, but emotional safety, remember, when you feel safe to share your true thoughts and feelings, okay, you mm-hmm. feel safe. Like, there are a lot of people, I'm telling you, they don't have emotional safety in their relationships because they know that their spouse has some insecurities or some fear or something going on where if they mentioned this thing or that thing or these things, that instantly they'd be shut out.
Yeah.
They'd be cut off, you know, and they just don't want that. So emotional safety, you need emotional safety where your spouse during conflict can say or do whatever needs to be said to get to the bottom of the conflict. That's emotional safety. Number two is empathy. Mm. And empathy is a willingness to suffer together. It's okay, I'm going to take off my shoes. I'm going to put on your shoes and everything inside of me is I'm going to try to understand what it is that you're feeling in that moment. That's empathy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to understand what you're feeling. And when I'm feeling what you're feeling, boom, that's empathy. Mm. And this is how you get past conflict.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I think for you and I, in the beginning of our relationship, we were always trying to play the devil's advocate, like in a conflict, like whether it was a conflict for us, it was like, we're always trying to like help you see a different side of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't you just try to actually see my side right now? And then we can get into that. But like, well, let's start with trying for me to actually be thinking about what are you feeling? What are you like when you're telling me this, what is the feeling behind this? What brought it to this point? Or like, you're just actually thinking, trying to understand what you're thinking instead of trying to bring another side.
Yeah, that's right.
And
it's like, yeah, I hear what you just said, but you got to understand this. It's like, okay, well, you're going the wrong direction.
Yes. And I don't know why
everybody does that
was such a natural thing to do, but we had to really learn like, okay, stop trying to bring balance, trying to bring a different side. It's like, we feel like it's our job. It's our duty to bring balance. Well, yes, at some point, but at the beginning, understand, just try to actually understand, just let that be your primary goal, is to listen, to understand. Right. And
you're listening for the emotions.
Yeah. And we talked about this a long time ago. I think when we first started the podcast, we were watching the series, This Is Us, years ago. And there was a scene with who's the main character girl? I forget her name now. We haven't watched it in so long.
Yeah. She's a singer.
No, not her. Oh yeah. Well, she was in
This Is Us.
Yeah, she was, but I'm talking about the daughter. Anyways, the daughter had just gotten married and the fiance was talking to
The mother-in-law.
Yeah. His mother-in-law, which is
Oh, you're talking about the bigger girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kate, I forget her name. She's a fantastic actress.
Amazing. So it was Kate.
Yeah.
And the mom is like, I just don't understand what the deal is. Like, I'm trying, you know, like, why does she treat me like this? And basically there was some legitimate.
So the mother-in-law was talking to the son-in-law about how Kate was treating her.
Yeah.
And the son-in-law responds.
And the son-in-law responded. And I thought it was so solid. He said, listen, I don't quite understand the dynamics of your relationship. There's a lot there. You guys have a lot of history, but just so you know, I'm team Kate.
Yeah.
Like I'm on my wife's team. Like, no, I'm not going to like, and I mean, clearly this girl, Kate had some major baggage. She didn't treat her mom well at all. Yeah. Actually, it was like, she was really actually in the wrong.
Yeah.
But instead of taking up, you know, instead of, you know, coming alongside this mom and be like, yeah, she treats me like that too. Right. Like, it's like, oh no, I'm team Kate. And I just think that like, that just hit me because it's like, I feel like my dad always did a really good job of
that. Yeah, he does.
He's always team Tori. You know, it's like, I'm like, even, like when I was young, if I would always go and want to just share everything with him because I knew dad was gonna like understand what I felt.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that draws you back and it connects you really deeply because you're like, you feel understood and you feel
safe. Yeah.
And so anyways, we always have to be team. I always have to be team Jason. And that means that when you are coming to me in conflict, I'm listening. I'm out to understand, right? It's not all about me being heard and getting defensive because, you know, I want to make sure that you don't think bad of me or that there's, you know, like I'm always thinking about how, you know, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Like, right. That's the nature usually of the conversation, but it's like, no, okay, oh, I hate that you felt that way.
Yeah.
I want to understand why you felt that way.
Yeah. And you know, if you're the spouse, if you're listening to this and you're the spouse who is the empathetic one, okay, and you are the one who is listening, you're understanding and all of that, but your spouse isn't. Mm-hmm. They're not listening or understanding. And it just seems to be that way. Like that's the perpetual thing that you guys suffer with, is that you've got one that's always doing the talking and kind of getting their way. Because remember, in an unhealthy marriage, it's always tyranny by the most selfish partner.
Yeah.
So if you're the one who's in this instance being selfless and you're being empathetic, okay, and your spouse isn't and they have a hard time with it, the answer is for you to be assertive. Mm. You need to flip it around. And yes, you still need to be empathetic, but then you need to be assertive and say, you know what I would really like from you right now is empathy. Do you hear how I just listened to you? What I would love for you is to do the same for me. Can you please do that? Like, I need that. Do you understand? I need that. Please. Mm-hmm. That's assertiveness.
Yeah.
That's you good. Need to be assertive. Just don't keep letting yourself get walked on because you're scared of your spouse. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the same time, you're fasting, you're praying, you're asking God to do whatever work that he needs to do in your spouse to handle some of the delicate issues that they have. You know, you might need counseling. You might need some coaching.
Yeah.
Might need therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Tori and I are not into therapy culture where people have a therapist like on speed dial. No, therapy is meant to help you with something, get you out of the pit and you move on and you don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. If you constantly need it, you got a problem. Like you're not moving past some things. So let me give you these five keys again. Five keys to a happy marriage. You both feel good about how you communicate. You feel connected to each other. You're flexible when problems arise. You like each other's personality and you feel understood during conflict. Mm. Those five keys.
Solid.
Pretty cool, huh?
So good. Okay, so was it last week that we had Trent and Amy, or was that the week before? That was 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago, I think.
Okay, so Trent shared his favorite recipe. Trent and Amy live in the Philippines. Yeah, yeah. So they're kind of like far from from like town and society, reality. And so he's been eating really healthy and he needed like simple ingredient recipes. Yeah. And so he makes these cookies every single day. And he told us, Amy was like, I don't really love them, but Trent loves them. And they're like his everyday go-to. So finally got the recipe. Several of you guys have reached out. You really want that recipe? Well, I got it for you now. And so I'm going to make a reel and show you how to do it. Yeah. Super, super simple. And
I actually loved it.
We actually really liked them.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's super simple. All it is oats, eggs, banana, cinnamon, salt, and a little bit of honey. So it's very simple. And we made a batch before. Actually, I made a batch. Why am I giving you credit? I don't know. before we went to the wedding and we kind of...
Yeah, we nailed it.
Nailed them.
In the car.
Didn't take long to go through that.
No, it didn't.
So I'll share that with you guys on the next reel from Jason and Tori Instagram. So one of the things... I'm going to tell you guys what I did different from this recipe. Less honey, more cinnamon, and I baked them a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you Trent's recipe. You could try them that way, or I'm going to give you my tweaks on how we liked them. And you guys just tell me what you think.
Tori's tweaks are good tweaks, you know?
I liked them like kind of golden brown on the bottom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to have that.
So I cooked them about an extra 10 minutes. So.
That's a good call.
All right, guys. I hope you guys really enjoy these cookies.
Yeah. And I hope that you are exhibiting the five keys to a happy marriage. We need to work on some things. Obviously, you heard me and Tori. You know, we got some things to talk about.
Right now.
Parking lot,
right
here, parking right lot now. Etiquette. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Talk to you guys next week.
Peace.